From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point. This weekend, a short viral video may have burst into your social media feed. It showed a white teenager at the Lincoln Memorial wearing a Make America Great Again hat. He's standing inches from an elderly Native American demonstrator singing a song of peace. The student was from Kentucky's all-male Covington Catholic High School. Was that a hateful smirk on his face or a nervous smile? His classmates jumped and whooped in what seemed like a crass and dangerous display threatening the dignity of the elder. While the social media outrage was swift and powerful, calls for the students to be doxxed or expelled for plainly racist behavior. Others, though, scoffed at the pain felt by Native people. But then, longer video emerged and the story got more complicated, so we're going to explore it. This hour on Point, thinking through what happened at the Lincoln Memorial. And you can join us. What do you think really happened in the encounter between students from Covington Catholic and the Native American elder in our world of righteous social media indignation, instant hot takes? What does the reaction, the shifting narrative say about us? And now that there's longer video out there, and if you've seen it, has it changed your opinion on what truly transpired? Join us anytime online or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Well, joining us from Seattle, Washington today is Tristan Ottone, the tribal affairs editor of High Country News and president of the Native American Journalists Association. He's a member of the Kiowa tribe. Tristan Ottone, welcome to On Point.
Thanks, Meghna.
It's really great to have you, Tristan. Now, I want to start today's show a little bit differently, and I wonder if you might just listen along with us because, you know, we spent the past day or two watching many of the videos that have come out from Friday's encounter, I should say, at the Lincoln Memorial. And I want to have everyone together listening to this program listen to some of what these videos show. So first of all, as background, I should say that Covington Catholic students were at the Lincoln Memorial after participating in the March for Life on Friday. And also there were participants in the Indigenous People's March. And some of the videos show the participants in the Indigenous People's March wrapping up their demonstration. So a lot of people on the mall on Friday afternoon, including five members of the Black Hebrew Israelites. Now, the Southern Poverty Law Center says that this is a group that possesses extremist views towards Jews, Asians, the LGBTQ community, amongst many others. Now, the longest video out there so far was posted by a member of this group, and that video is an hour, 46 minutes. And through a whole bunch of it, you can see the Black Israelites hurling insults at many people, including some of the Indigenous marchers.
You think that's Uncle Tom's? You're Uncle Tomahawk.
That's right.
Out your mind. Got your head up the white man.
Now, this goes on for like an hour, really. The man yells insults at lots of people passing him by, including the folks wearing Make America Great Again hats. And he also shouts several times about the wall.
But you want to build a damn wall.
All right, so about an hour into this video, there's a large group of people you can see standing on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial behind the Black Hebrew Israelites. Now, it's not clear when the students from Covington Catholic joined that crowd, but eventually one of the Black Hebrew Israelites turns to the crowd and yells more insults at them, calling them things like incest babies. And just about at this time, you can see in the video, the students begin chanting.
Get rid of your lice!
It's one of the Black Hebrew Israelites telling the students, get rid of your lice, you're like a dog. Now, 11th grader Nick Sandman, he is the student at the center of the confrontation that was about to happen. He said in a statement that his classmates began their school cheers with permission from their chaperones, quote, to drown out the hateful comments that were being shouted at us by the protesters. However, some of those chaperones, and they were traveling with more than 100 students, they told WKRC in Cincinnati that the students started their cheers just to pass the time. And another student also emailed the station saying, quote, we are an all-male school that loves to get hyped up. We decided to do some cheers to pass the time. And at one point in one of the videos, you can see one of the students rushing to the bottom of the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. He strips off his jacket and his shirt. He looks at the black Hebrew Israelites for a moment, and then he leads his classmates in another chant. Well, the energy in the crowd really rises, and it's about at this time where some of the videos show Nathan Phillips. He is a member of the Omaha tribe, an elder of the Omaha tribe, and a United States veteran of the Marine Corps. He walks towards the crowd. Now, Phillips told the Washington Post that before the students were reacting to the taunts from the black Israelites, he had heard them saying such things as, oh, quote, the Indians in my state are drunks and thieves.
So when these young people were saying, took offense, where was that supervisor? And we're just there trying to get out, be done.
So that's Nathan Phillips talking to the Washington Post. And the Post reported that Phillips had said that he wished he could do something, say something to the whole crowd to calm everybody down, and someone had suggested a prayer song. And so Phillips had a drum in his hand, and he played the prayer song on the drum as he walked towards the students.
So since I was moving forward, I continued to move forward. And I took that step, and they started moving back. They didn't break their circle, but they started moving back. So I took another step, and they moved back some more.
Now, videos show some of the students moved out of Nathan Phillips' way. But one woman who was walking with Phillips told New York Magazine, quote, we were alarmingly outnumbered. The boys closed in around us. And some of the teens did do what looked like tomahawk chops. They were mocking the prayer song. They're jumping up and down. And Phillips says he tried to take steps to the top of the memorial. And that's when he says 11th grader Nick Sandman, wearing his red Make America Great Again hat, blocked his way.
When that young man blocked my retreat, he put himself in front of me.
Now, Sandman disputes this. In a statement, he said, quote, I was startled and confused as to why he had approached me. I was worried that a situation was getting out of control where adults were attempting to provoke teenagers. He also says that he did smile at one point in time. It's that expression that many people read as a smirk. But he says he wanted Phillips to know that, quote, he was not going to become angry. But tensions were escalating in that scrum between another student and a man who accompanied Phillips into the crowd.
BS theory. BS theory. It's proven, man. Come on.
So there's a video where Sandman, though, can be seen gesturing to that student to disengage. And Sandman says in his statement, I never understood why either of the two groups of protesters were engaging with us. We were simply there to meet a bus and not become central players in a media spectacle. And there's many more moments after this, but there's one in particular, because as the students finally dispersed, there was many more shouts and jeers. And at least one other person in one of the videos can be heard expressing some confusion.
What is happening?
So, Tristan Ottone, thank you for being patient with me and listening through some of those moments of the videos now that we have from Friday's encounter at the Lincoln Memorial. I mean, after listening through those, what's your view, your take on what happened?
Well, basically, I don't think that this is really all that complicated. I mean, I don't need to watch 2 hours of video to see that the black Hebrew Israelites were making vile homophobic comments, just like I don't need to watch 2 hours of video to see that the students from Covington Catholic High School were engaging in racist behavior. You know, in terms of even characterizing Mr. Phillips' song, a number of outlets have reported that he was chanting. Some have said that he was singing a song of peace or, as you mentioned, a prayer song. That is, in fact, not the case. Mm. What he's singing there is the Raymond Yellow Thunder song, which is colloquially known as the Song of the American Indian Movement. And that song was composed in the 1970s to honor an Oglala man who was murdered by white men in Gordon, Nebraska. So there's still a lot of facts and context that aren't necessarily being reported correctly about this. But bottom line, I just don't see this as being all that complicated.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for the correction there on the song. I guess my attempts for being expedient on the radio and simplifying it were ill-advised here. So I appreciate your correction very much. I suppose some of the evolution or thinking that people have gone through in the couple of days since the first one-minute video sort of burst onto people's social media feeds. Is the initial video seem to show or imply that the students approached Mr. Phillips and that they had surrounded him like a mob, and that some people now feel with the longer video, if you're talking about context, they see, well, it's not the same situation because it shows that Mr. Phillips approached the students because he was trying to really diffuse the situation. And that makes all the difference, knowing that that was the preamble to what happened.
Sure. But I think critics have said that, you know, the students were confused or perhaps even stressed out by this situation, leading them to harass and intimidate Mr. Phillips. And where I'm coming from, I just don't think harassment is ever a reasonable answer to a situation like this. It's not reasonable for the other groups to be doing this. And just because you're under stress doesn't give you the right to harass or intimidate or engage in racist behavior.
Mm. So you're the president of the Native American Journalists Association. I mean, tell me more about how Native communities have responded to the initial videos and also the sort of way that the whole event and people's reaction to it have been discussed in the past couple of days.
Well, obviously the social media reaction has been pretty swift. You know, I obviously don't speak for the Native community and can't do that. But I think a lot of the comments that we're seeing and a lot of the analysis that we're reading now is that a lot of folks have said that criticizing and mocking Indigenous people is an American tradition. You know, the Washington NFL team bears the name of a dictionary-defined racial slur. The president routinely makes anti-Indian comments to belittle his opponents. The Declaration of Independence calls Indigenous people merciless Indian savages. Anti-Indian racism is sort of an integral part of the United States. And while there is a lot of shock that this has been captured on video, I wouldn't say that there's a whole lot of surprise.
Right. Well, Tristan Autone, Tribal Affairs Editor for High Country News, stand by here for just a second. We'll be right back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.
Support for the On Point podcast comes from Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform that lets you find candidates fast. Ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/on point. That's Indeed.com/on point. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking this hour about thinking through what happened at the Lincoln Memorial on the Nation's Mall on Friday late afternoon. You may have first seen it in a short video that went viral on social media showing a young white teenager wearing a Make America Great Again hat. He's a student at Covington Catholic High School in Kentucky. How he seems to be facing down a Native American elder and surrounded by a group of boys also from Covington Catholic High School. It got a lot of reaction immediately on social media, and then the narratives expanded as more and longer video emerged over time over the past couple of days. So we're talking about how to think through these complex moments from various points of view. When the forces of technology and social media tend to squash that complexity down to 60-second video cuts that amp up emotion but perhaps make it more difficult to really get a fair assessment of what's going on. And I'm joined today by Tristan Autone. He's Tribal Affairs Editor at High Country News and President of the Native American Journalists Association and member of the Kiowa Tribe as well. And Tristan, I've got another quick question for you, because many people have described what they saw in that video. And actually, I should say more specifically, people who were standing alongside Nathan Phillips, who approached the Covington Catholic students along with him, have described first-person accounts where they felt like those students were behaving like a mob or around them. I want to acknowledge that. But I wonder what your response is to other people who have reacted since then and said, No, the true mob is on social media. The mob that demanded that these kids get doxxed, that perhaps even, you know, threatened their lives or the lives of their parents. Covington Catholic High School today in Kentucky closed out of fear of safety for students there. What's your response to that?
Well, as I said earlier, I mean, harassment and intimidation are never appropriate responses to this situation. You know, it wasn't appropriate for the students to harass and intimidate Mr. Phillips. It wasn't appropriate for the Black Hebrew Israelites to harass or intimidate the Covington students. And it's inappropriate for, you know, public or private individuals to be harassing these folks either. But bottom line, again, is that looking at a lot of the analysis and a lot of the backpedaling on this, it seems that there are a lot of reporters that are asking you not to believe your eyes. And I think it's a dangerous, unethical, and irresponsible request from journalists, and one reason why trust in our industry has dropped to an all-time low.
Yeah. Well, Tristan, stand by here for just a moment, if you could, because I want to welcome into the conversation Robbie Suave. He's with us from Washington today. He's associate editor at Reason.com, and he recently wrote a piece headlined, "The Media Wildly Mischaracterized That Video of Covington Catholic Students Confronting a Native American Veteran." We've got a link to it at onpointradio.org. Robbie Suave, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so here we are a couple of days out from when the video first emerged on social media. You heard what Tristan Aton has to say about it. I mean, what's your view? You've said that you think people should apologize to the students of Covington Catholic.
They absolutely should. He's wildly incorrect. There is very little evidence of harassment or intimidation on the part of the students. It's very clear if you watch the videos that everyone got this incredibly wrong. Phillips approached them. They were doing cheers, pep rally type things in response, trying to drown out the Black Hebrew Israelites, as you mentioned. He came up to them as they were doing that. They were confused, and some of them, but they thought he was maybe showing solidarity with them. So they tried to join in with what he was doing. I mean, maybe that was insensitive or not like the best idea. But they weren't trying to harass him. Actually, he was the one who misread the situation completely. He said this on media later. He said that he was trying to protect the prey, the Black Hebrew Israelites, from the beasts, the students. He described the students as the beasts. That is a willful misrepresentation of what was happening. These students were not engaged in wrongdoing, and for the most part, there were a few students who made, maybe one or two, who made a tomahawk gesture, that was racially insensitive, and I hope someone talks to them about that. But for the most part, he is intruding on what they're doing, and what they're doing wasn't wrong or offensive or inappropriate whatsoever.
So a couple of things. Okay, first of all, I watched the videos, and there are a lot of hands going up and down in what could seem like a tomahawk gesture. So I'm not sure if it's just one or two. It's hard.
No.
It's
no,
hard
no,
to
no, no,
read
no, no.
What their intent is.
That's wrong. That is wrong. There is one or two clear, the clear forward direct motion is the tomahawk. A lot of them are just jumping and making a, like, raise the volume hand gesture, which is what you would do at, like, a concert or a pep rally or something like that. They're doing it before they even see Phillips. It's not a, they're trying to join in with what he's doing. It's absolutely not a racist gesture. You can think, I don't know, they should have stood there solemnly while he sang and played his drums. They didn't know that, and I don't think that's their fault. And it is wildly inaccurate. It is drumming up a mob against these kids. They for the most part were not doing that.
Well, so Tristan Aton, let me turn back to you. How do you respond to what Robbie's saying?
Again, I think it's pretty clear what's happening in the clip. You just have to kind of watch and see it. And again, I think on the part of journalists is that I think it's a real failure by outlets that they don't recognize when racism is happening. It's an utter failure on the part of journalists to not call a thing a thing. If you are questioning what is plainly in front of you, you should probably hang up your press card.
Robbie?
It is the role of journalists to question what they see in front of them, to add context, to look for the truth. to clarify matters. This was a confusing incident, especially if you only saw a few seconds of it. The broader context makes it abundantly clear that the fault for what happened belongs with the Black Hebrew Israelites, and then with Mr. Phillips, who misled the media and his entourage, who were also trying to provoke the students. The students, not all of them, behaved perfectly, but Nick Sandman, who has been the object of all this scorn, my God, he gives a hand gesture to one of the other kids, telling them not to engage at all. He's clearly not trying to intimidate. He's confused, and he's if you just watch it for 3 seconds, yes, it looks creepy, but that's out of context. And the reason people lose faith in the media is for insisting on absolutely false narratives like this.
Well, so let me ask you, you said that, if did I hear you correctly, that you think that Nathan Phillips was trying to provoke the students?
Not Nathan Phillips himself. There are other people with him. One of them, it's on the video footage, starts to argue with one of the other students. I have no idea what Phillips was trying to do. What he told the media afterward was false. He might have just been really mistaken about what was going on. I don't know.
He said that he wanted to defuse the situation.
No, he said that, but he said he wanted to protect. He used the words beasts and prey, referring to the kids as beasts and the Black Hebrew Israelites as prey. That is a completely backward reading. Actually, the Black Hebrew Israelites had, in addition to their vile comments, had threatened the group, had threatened everyone, had dared them to come initiate violence. So this was absolutely, he got it 100% backward.
Yeah.
Who was the aggressor in this situation?
Well, there were definitely,
at best, he's wrong.
Yeah. So the Black Hebrew Israelites spend at least, you know, more than an hour throwing all sorts of vile comments at just about everyone who passes them by. There's no doubt about that. I mean, maybe we ought to be talking about more about their role in all of this. Absolutely. But I wonder, I mean, is it possible to also talk for a second about the fact that there were, what, more than 100 of these Covington Catholic High School boys on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial waiting for their bus, you know, getting together in a unified chant. Yes, it's a high school cheer, but more than 100 of them, 5 of the Black Hebrew Israelites and a handful of the Indigenous Peoples marchers, and that the sheer disproportionality of those numbers. If you're a person of color, you see that, maybe you do think beast and prey.
I mean, Phillips, I believe, I'm not 100% sure on this, I believe he has made comments in the media indicating that he understood that the Black Hebrew Israelites had said offensive things. Actually, and I think I believe they said offensive things to other Native Americans prior to all this.
Yes, they did. Absolutely.
I mean, I've encountered these people on the streets of D.C. before, by the way. They're akin to, like, the Westboro Baptist Church or something like that. They're crazy. So I think he, you know, and he said he wanted to intervene here. Why wouldn't you go tell them to go away? Or, I mean, when he came up to the kids and he's drumming, and I understand it's not intended to be an aggressive thing. And I wish all our young people and myself as well to be better educated about Native custom and what is meant by some of these things. But he just wades sort of, he goes in their direction, and they're really confused what to do about it, I think for good reason. They don't know if he's on their side or not, and he's kind of not on their side because it sounds like he thought they were the bad guys.
Tristan,
so I don't really fault them very much for what happened.
Tristan Altone, I want to bring you back in here. What do you think about what Robbie's saying?
Yeah, I mean, we can pick this apart all day about, you know, what it looks like, what we think, what we're seeing there. But, you know, adding context makes for a more complex story, and I agree with that, but it doesn't make the actions of the students any less racist.
Well, let's go to a caller. Let's go to Cirilla, who's calling from Madison, Wisconsin. Cirilla, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I've been crying since I've been watching this video. But as a Dakota person, as a Catholic, we have a Catholic church in Milwaukee called Congregation of the Great Spirit, and we're Native American and Catholic. And I didn't see any anything bad in what the Catholic boys were doing. They didn't understand that the song was a prayer on the drum. We've had many classes that come to our church. Specifically, we'll teach them for 12 weeks, and then when they come to the big drum, it's so exciting to hear the drum and the song. A lot of them make tomahawk things, even though they've been educated to the process and that it's a sacred drum and it's a sacred song. People just don't get it because they're not exposed to it. It doesn't mean it's acting in malice. So that's why we do have powwows. We have powwows where we have a midwinter powwow coming up and invite people, invite the public. These are your roots. This is the roots of American heritage. These people are here. We have dancers. We have singers. We have people that honor the earth. We have people that honor water. We have a water ceremony. I mean, come to a midwinter powwow in Milwaukee at State Fairgrounds and see, there's no malicious intent on anyone's side. And little snippets of video, that's how movies are created. That's how we believe that Tom Cruise is doing something magnificent when he's really not. Yeah. We're being manipulated by the media to cause these horrible things to be happening between all of us. When I see a beautiful young teenager with beautiful young energy acting a little bit goofy and kind of a weird situation, not understanding stuff.
Yeah.
That's what we have going on. And so now we're blowing up and punishing people and manipulating their futures when we could accept them and teach them the culture. Because it's here. It's living. People dance in powwows every weekend all over the country.
Cirilla, thank you so much for your call. Cirilla from Madison, Wisconsin there. Really very much appreciate it. Tristan Otto, would you like to respond to Cirilla?
Well, I think Cirilla touched on the issue of education. Obviously, that's probably fodder for a whole nother show on how American schools teach no indigenous education at all, that history starts with the arrival of Europeans in the U.S. and that there's no history here before that, or the history of relations with settlers. But that's a topic for another show, probably.
Mm. Well, Robbie Suave, let me turn back to you here for a second, because you heard Cirilla say something that I want to dig into here. And that is the problem that the vast majority of people, millions of people who learned about this incident, learned through it first through a one-minute-long viral video on social media that was utterly devoid of context. Now, you know, I don't know how many people are going to go forth and see the longer videos, and maybe some will change their mind, maybe some won't, but at least they'll have had the opportunity to engage with all the information that we could possibly get. But does it even matter anymore? Because we're living in an age where it's like a Rorschach test. Your opinions are formed hard and fast from these flashes of out-of-context information that we get, and I think it's hurting America.
I mean, I think so, too. You can make a strong argument that social media, maybe particularly Twitter, brings out the worst in some of us. It encourages quick responses and snark. I mean, technology also comes with great benefits. It's easier to communicate across a vast network of people to reach people you wouldn't have otherwise. So I don't want to have like a moral panic about social media. There are advantages and disadvantages. But if everyone could just be more responsible and not, it wouldn't be the technology's fault if we could just take a breath and wait for the broader context. This is and to their credit, many people who initially tweeted this have apologized. My articles about this have been tweeted by Jake Tapper of CNN, Meghan McCain, who's on The View, other prominent people. What discourages me the most is that many have claimed that they've watched the longer videos and are just as certain as they were before that these boys were engaged in a racially motivated harassment, which is you are blind if that is still what you're taking away from these videos. They do not show this. And I don't say this as a Trump supporter or a Trump defender. I am not remotely a fan of many of the president's policies. If the videos had been otherwise, I would have characterized them just as other people are saying, but the evidence is just not there. And it frightens me that we live in this such an intense political moment, I get, where everything is so politicized that we can't just agree that this was a huge mistake and move on to the next thing.
Well, Tristan, I want to give you one last thought here, because when we come back from our break, we're going to hear from a member of the Navajo Nation. But you've got about 30 seconds left to go. What one last thought you'd like to share with people about how we should think about this moment?
Well, where I agree with Mr. Suave here is that Twitter is kind of a cesspool. Obviously, that's gonna happen. But one other option here is that folks could have learned about this from an actual reporter. Mm-hmm. If news outlets actually hired indigenous reporters to go out and cover that. So there are options here on the journalism side that outlets are not taking.
Yeah. Well, Tristan Atone, tribal affairs editor at High Country News and president of the Native American Journalists Association and a member of the Kiowa tribe, joining us from Seattle. Tristan, thank you so very much for your time today.
Thank you.
I'm Megan Chakrabarty. This is On Point.
Did you kill Marlene Johnson?
I think you're one of the first people to have actually asked.
From WBUR and ZSP Media, this is Beyond All Repair, a new podcast about an unsolved murder that will leave you questioning everything.
Somebody should be in jail for murdering my sister.
A woman who's never been believed.
As long as they think I have done this, then they're not looking for who actually did this.
And that's what makes it a cold case.
No, it's a botched case.
And a search for the truth, once and for all.
Wow, it just gets more interesting.
Beyond All Repair. Listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Be careful. You're digging in a place that's been very peaceful for a while.
Do it anyway. Dig.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking this hour about how to think through what happened at the Lincoln Memorial on the Nation's Mall on Friday late afternoon. Many of us found out about it through a one-minute viral video on social media that showed a young man from Covington Catholic High School wearing a Make America Great Again hat facing down a Native American elder surrounded by many of his fellow classmates who seemed to be jeering at the Native American elder. It's a complicated story. We're talking about how to think through it beyond the initial reactions that were spurred in millions of people on social media. I mean, we've got comments here coming in online. Peter Bears on Facebook says, this is a cautionary tale in how our ability to share texts and images has outpaced our ability to comprehend exactly what we're spreading. Katie Gifford says, even with the full video showing vulgar rants of other protesters present, this kid is the one being vilified and called to apologize. Amazingly insane logic. But Nancy Pope says, you can't seriously watch any video and say these kids aren't trying to be rude. Their chaperones should have made them leave when they first encountered the other groups. Well, two of the chaperones, Jill Hamlin and Jim Wilson, they are Covington Catholic High School parents who were chaperoning this trip to Washington. They told WKRC in Cincinnati that the students weren't at fault for what happened.
Our boys were targeted. They were targeted from the get-go. Immediately, there were all these people running around filming. I can't believe they even stayed and listened to the vitriol and the hatred that was being shouted at them. As a mother, it was horrible, horrible.
And our boys did nothing, no violence. They did not attack those gentlemen. They stood there waiting for their bus.
All right, let's go to John, who's calling from Lexington, South Carolina. John, you heard two of the chaperones there. What do you think?
Very simply, I'm an older father and grandfather, and this whole situation seems to be what's wrong with America right now. We spend all of our time trying to lay blame on everything and everybody, trying to lay blame on social media, on some black Israelite people who are doing their thing, the students that are doing their thing, the Indian that was doing his thing. And I think, to me, what everybody is doing is passing up an outstanding opportunity. What a great teachable moment to act like an adult and not think about blame and everything else, but think about the end result. In the end, someone could have gotten hurt very badly. Could have been the fellow who is the Indian. It could have been one of the black Israelite people. It very easily could have been some of the students. And so many people were there, and even kids who are in high school are adults. And I think everybody needs to stop the blame game and look at the outcomes. You know, you're going to be faced with situations that you don't know the answers to your entire life.
Yeah.
But you have to make right decisions, and you need to avoid casting blame on things and try to think, what is the right outcome here?
Right. Well, John, I'm going to take it back from you. Thank you so much for your call, because John sets us up quite wonderfully for bringing in our next guest. Jacqueline Keeler joins us now. She's joining us today from Covington, Kentucky. And she's a writer, an enrolled member of the Navajo Nation, who also has Yankton Dakota Sioux heritage. She's a contributor to Yes Magazine and Truth Out. And she just wrapped up a meeting with the Diocese of Covington, Kentucky. Jacqueline Keeler, welcome to you.
Yes, thank you for having me.
All right. So you just wrapped up this meeting with the diocese there. What was discussed? What did they say?
So what they weren't able to actually, the diocese actually called the police and closed the school and basically went into lockdown mode. So what occurred was actually that the Native American representatives from the community of Cincinnati and also from the AIM Kentucky Ohio chapter had to hold sort of a prayer press conference outside of the diocese.
I see. So you weren't actually able to meet members of leadership.
No.
Okay.
They did. We did get a lot of speeches from the various members of the Native community here, and which was really instructional. And it is really disappointing that the diocese doesn't want to have a dialogue with the Native community here locally.
But there had been a meeting scheduled, though. I mean, who arranged
it? Was yeah. They the local. It was being arranged by AIM Indiana Kentucky and also the local Cincinnati Native community.
Okay, all right.
The Greater Cincinnati Native American Coalition.
So yeah. You heard our caller there earlier say like that this is a moment to really stop and think about what we want people to learn. What is it that you and other members who wanted to meet with the diocese? What is the message you wanted to give? What is it you want students to learn?
Yeah, well, Thomas Pierce from the from AIM gave a speech, and he explained that what they really want, they want to be clear that they're concerned about Trump's attacks on Native people today, and then also that what the kids did is what their parents taught them, and that they want to know where the chaperones were, and also that they want to discuss with the diocese. Adapting a curriculum that would teach about the Catholic Church's role in Indian country and the harm that the Catholic Church has done to Native people.
Mm. Okay, so let's just take a quick call here. Let's go to Benjamin, who's calling from Lexington, Kentucky. Benjamin, you're on the air.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that, you know, the boys, they don't need to be under the scrutiny that, like, Twitter has been saying, but that doesn't mean we don't need to hold them accountable, because how they reacted to the stress was still wrong. And you go through life, you get in stressful situations, and you can't act like that. You can't use racial slurs. You can't, you know, be a jerk when someone's not nice to you. And if we don't hold them accountable, the men that act like that at 16 turn into the 60-year-old man that still is using racial slurs, and we say, well, he was from a different age, he doesn't know better. You know, they do know better, and we should hold them accountable to a higher standard.
Yeah. Benjamin, thank you for your call. Robbie Suave, let me turn back to you, associate editor at Reason.com. You heard Jacqueline and our caller now just say that there a lot of people want this underlying message that they're concerned about behavior they see today. And I know that you disagree about the nature of the behavior, but that that if not educated, that's going to translate into them carrying themselves through the world as adults.
Look, I'm always in favor of, I think the role of schools and parents are to socialize young people, to turn them into adults and to teach them better behavior. And I'm the behavior that I saw, it certainly could have been improved. But I mean, again, in 2 hours of footage, I don't think I heard, I didn't really hear racial slurs from the boys. I didn't hear a single build the wall chant. Doesn't mean it wasn't there. You can't hear every single thing every person was saying. So I'm not trying to, I can't make the strong claim that no one in that context did anything wrong ever during the entire thing. But this has been so blown out of proportion. And the very real consequences for these kids, especially Sandman, who didn't say or do anything, have been substantial. The school's closed today. I mean, his face is plastered all over the media. If the cameras had been turned off and this was just an event that did not turn into a major media incident, I would agree. They should have a meeting at the school. Everyone should sit down in the gym and they should have a conversation about what happened and talk about what would we do differently next time. I think that would be perfectly appropriate. The kids who, if there were kids, the ones who did the tomahawks, the real actual tomahawk gesture, that they should be educated about why that's racially insensitive and not something we should do. But, I mean, we have to assign some fault and some blame given how big a story this has become. And it lies, in my expert opinion from reviewing all this information, it lies substantially with the other parties who are not the boys in question.
Jacqueline Keeler, would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, I would like to say that I agree with the previous callers, but I have to respond to what the statements from the parent chaperones. The fact is that the Black Israelites, if you review some of the footage that was on there, they were insulting everyone, mm-hmm. even the indigenous marchers. And so this is what they do. They do this all over the country. You can go to Times Square and they will go and insult you. You know, they do this to every race, creed, tourist. Everyone. It's not a personal thing. And what the parents and the people in charge should have done was to recognize that and to redirect the voice somewhere else. They were waiting for a bus on Lincoln Memorial. They didn't need to wait on the stairs for 2 hours. They could have moved to the other side where the bus was. I don't see, as a parent and someone who has run, events, taken kids places, you know, there's a certain amount where it's up to the parents to assess the situation and inform the youth. And that's where the direction goes. And also the wearing of MAGA hats. I mean, that is an inflammatory gesture in a very public space. When they leave their own personal spaces, they need to understand, and this is the role of education, of pedagogy, is to basically educate young people of how to interact with the rest of society. That was incredibly inflammatory, and they need to be able to do that.
I just want to jump in here for a second, mostly because I'm mindful of the time. The Make America Great Again hat is a very provocative thing in this day and age, but people still have the right to wear whatever they want in public spaces. But to your point about educating young people about how to respond when they're in provocative environments, I mean, Robbie Suave, let me turn back to you on that, because I wonder what you think about this, that look, a lot of people, maybe what they felt is, hey, look, I'm a person of color, I'm a minority, I'm a Native person, I'm an LGBT person, and my entire life is lived having to experience taunts, you know, of the variety that the Black Hebrew Israelites threw at those students. And I am told every day to turn the other cheek. So why isn't it that these students did that? Why did their chaperones not say, hey, don't cheer, move away?
A couple of things. One thing there, I attended the University of Michigan, a large kind of typical large state university with a liberal student body. And on every campus in the middle of the quad, there's a crazy religious preacher yelling that everyone's going to hell. And usually the liberal students make fun of him or her on their way to class. And no one thinks that's like objectionable and offensive for them to make fun of this guy, which is akin to what was happening here. These kids, when the crazy the Black Hebrew Israelites were when they made anti-gay references, the students pushed back. They booed them. They told one of the Black kids, one of the few high school students who was Black, that his classmates were going to murder him and steal his organs, and they comforted him after this was said to, this really horrific thing was said to him. I mean, there is evidence of really admirable behavior among the boys. So I just I think we're getting really, really lost here. If every single person wearing a Make America Great Again hat is de facto, because they're wearing the hat, you think they're guilty of racial harassment, then we could have had a shorter conversation. We could have wrapped this up in 1 minute. If that's what you think, then yes, they were wearing those hats, so yes, they did it. But obviously that's not what we were talking about. We were talking about their actions and their behavior, which have been taken wildly out of context and very frustratingly continue to be.
Yeah, you know, I keep coming back to this, also this other bigger question about how the rest of us, the millions of others of us responded. And I personally am quite disturbed that there were a lot of people on social media calling for, whatever you think of the incident, calling for young people, minors, to be doxxed, et cetera. So I think we need to hold all of ourselves individually to account as well. And so let me take one last really quick call here. Robert's calling from Dover, Massachusetts. Robert, you just got a little bit of time, but go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This is an example of why I have deactivated my Facebook account and don't use social media anymore, because I feel like this is such a complicated issue. I mean, I'm listening to your guests, and they're hearing each other in different ways. And on social media, that becomes even so much more difficult for someone to ascertain the truth. And so using kind of as unbiased media outlets as you can get to garner different tidbits of truth to understand a very complicated issue like this is how I'd like to try to have form opinions as opposed to reading it through a meme on social media.
Well, Robert, thank you so much for your call. Jacqueline Keeler in Covington, Kentucky, let me turn back to you here for a moment. I mean, we've just got about a minute or so left to go. What would you like people to learn to take away from this moment?
Well, one thing I'd like to respond to that is that there was a young man that spoke today at Covington, and his name is Eshtekapa Lebovois, and he spoke. He's a Lakota Dakota young man, and he said that, you know, every day Black youth are held to a completely different standard, you know, with the threat of death if they make the wrong decisions, and this is a really stark contrast to what we're discussing here. The issue that I see, that I read a piece for Sierra Magazine that's coming out tomorrow, which really looks at, you know, that this was an event where you saw the three streams of American experience coming together in one location, mm-hmm. you know, on Lincoln's Memorial. And here you have very privileged young men who have enjoyed, you know, the benefits of the way our society is structured, which is commonly referred to as white supremacist, right, a historical sort of structure. And then you have the Black Hebrew Israelites who, of course, come from the exact opposite, you know, a group that have been, that their whole ideology is derived from, you know, from the oppression that they faced. And they chanted that from the women. And then you have a Native American man, a group that we don't, you know, even as a Native person, we don't see ourselves in these national dialogues. And this is a mm-hmm. national dialogue we're having right now.
Yeah.
And it is, as the caller said, a great opportunity to have a discussion. And this is all the result of U.S. history, all coming together in a very, you know, at a monument to change to a better country. And I also like to quote...
Well, Jacqueline, I'm so forgive me. Please forgive me for having to cut you off. I'm so sorry. People get mad when I do this to folks, but I don't mean to. We're just flat out of time.
Yeah.
Jacqueline Keeler from speaking to us from Covington, Kentucky, an enrolled member of the Navajo Nation and contributor to Yes Magazine and Truth Out. Jacqueline Keeler, thank you so much. Robbie Suave, we've just got about a couple seconds left and want to give you a chance to have a quick last thought.
I think everything I can say about it, but thank you so much for having me, and I encourage people to read my article and judge and see the video and judge for themselves.
All right, well, Robbie Suave, associate editor at Reason.com, thank you so very much. And we've got a little bit of news here that Native American elder Nathan Phillips says he will meet with students at Covington Catholic High School. So that just happening. And by the way, Twitter, according to CNN's reporting, Twitter has also suspended the original Twitter account that helped this video go viral. It looks like it was being amplified by a network of other anonymous accounts. And one analyst says, we're all conditioned to react and engage or deny in specific ways. And we all did. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.